The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Frankie Turk, Carolina Mienza, and Marilise Kotsar, who are all of Repeat Dot Earth, which is a youth-led collection pushing for a peatland paradigm shift. And Frankie, Carolina, and Marilise, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great to have all three of you on the line today with us. And you know, let's start at the top. When I found your website, I found it fascinating. I did not realize that the protection of peatlands were so vital. And with that in mind, would love to get a high-level overview of Repeat, how the idea came about, and all that good stuff. And perhaps we'll start with Frankie.
Nice. And likewise, I think many of us a few years back would have not been able to give you more than one sentence about a peatland, myself included. So basically how the group was formed was a few of us were just on a field trip pretty randomly to a peatland, as it happens with a peatland scientist who was working at the Greifswalds Meyer Center, which is kind of like the, someone referred to it as the Silicon Valley of peatland. I think that was maybe like Marilise. It's like the hub of peatlands. So it's, yeah. So this guy called Jan Peters, which is also somehow like symbolic that his name is Peters. He was just taking us around this peatland in Germany and explaining to us all of the like pretty much basic science about like all the plethora of ecosystem services and values of peatlands and everything that happens when you drain them, all the negative effects. And he just said a few facts. You know, like the emissions from drained peatlands accounts for like 3 times the aviation industry or something. You're like, wow, everyone knew that the aviation industry is bad, but like drained peatlands, who would have known? So yeah, we basically got blown away by this talk and we were like, wow, like for a topic that is so unspoken about, this is like vital. So we, on the bus back home, we were like thinking of the most ridiculous names ever and we came up with the name Repeat and it kind of just stuck. We've just been like growing and talking to lots of different people and just trying to make it such a interdisciplinary kind of conversation as much as possible over the past year. And I'm going to leave it at that for now.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Carolina and Marilise, anything else to add to that one?
Well, I wasn't myself on that trip or bus, but as soon as Frankie and Bethany were actually going there, they came back. And we're so enthusiastic about it. I was like, I'm definitely going to jump on this train and yeah, like do something with peatlands as well. I didn't know myself anything about it as well. So it was a process of learning and also being inspired by peatlands.
That's really cool. That's, I have to say, that's really amazing to be inspired by one event like that. Do you know what I mean? One field trip really sparked something that's quite big. And I certainly urge all of our listeners to check out their website. It's re-peat.earth because it's not just a website that showcases, you know, your passion for this. There's a lot of stuff that you all do. There's lots of programs and lots of great content. So tell us more about that and how that kind of aligns with your mission. And maybe we'll start with Marilise on that one.
So as you said already, like peatlands are a very vital ecosystem and they are especially important in the fight against the climate crisis. And peatlands are occupying like 3% of the earth, but they store way more carbon than the forests do. So we are always talking about forests, but who talks about peatlands? So
they literally like 3% of peatlands store twice as much carbon as all the forests and forests take up 30%. It's like crazy.
Wow. So it looks like forests are winning the PR battle when it comes to this, but it's really all about peatlands. That's kind of where it's at. That's pretty amazing. And you know, as I mentioned on your website, there's so much stuff that you guys are doing. It's clearly you're working round the clock. So if you don't mind, tell us about some of your overall programs and efforts and all that good stuff. And Carolina, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah. Well, we kind of going back to the basic, we started very small, but then gradually found a lot of potential in, you know, spreading awareness. So we decided that we wanted to start by spreading this awareness to the general public and to people, because we thought the first step to spread out, or like for people to realize the importance of peatlands, was to even know about peatlands. So we started off with some events, smaller events. Most of us at that time were in Amsterdam, so it started with like smaller events in Amsterdam to spread the word. Then we got more people that joined us, so we decided that it was time maybe to push a bit further, and we decided to organize a 24-hour online peat fest. And this was during the quarantine times, so it was kind of perfect that it was online. And we managed to reach out to speakers from loads of different countries. We got speakers from Indonesia, from New Zealand, from the United States, from like different countries in Europe, the UK. So it was quite amazing. And we reached out to more than 600 people on our platform, and it was a great success. And it all started from this, small group of people that were motivated and passionate. So, and we managed to get far beyond our expectations. So after that, we had this platform, and so we have been, we still kind of keeping like an eye on this network that we have, and we are thinking also in the future of having another peat fest. But in the meantime, we're also been focusing on different events. We have been doing Making a Peat Anthology, which is a collection of like poems, letters, stories, art pieces, different kinds, like creative pieces that we collected from 50 people, or more than 50 people actually. And we sent,
I think it's not quite 50, I think it's like 45.
Okay, and we sent to about 700 members of the European Parliament while they were discussing the new common agriculture policy, with the idea that we could, influence this, their decision-making process.
I just wanted to add something that it was kind of came a bit full circle, because one of the things that was said in this first field trip that we went on was that the EU currently subsidizes drainage-based agriculture, but it does not subsidize paludiculture, which is an alternative kind of agriculture which has wet peatlands, so the peatlands can stay healthy. And so this was like, when we found out all this information, and then like to top it off, the EU was like subsidizing drainage and then not subsidizing paludiculture, we were like, wow, like this is our target. So when we first started the peat anthology, we were really like, okay, the common agricultural policy, which accounts for 40% of the total EU budget, so it's like massive amounts of money, needs to change. So that was kind of like, yeah, interesting how it was like, yeah, all came together with this one excursion to a peatland.
Interesting. So you guys are really a lobbying organization. So you do education advocacy, and you're also dealing with lawmakers and parliament. That's pretty incredible. And I'm going to go off script a little bit. What are your backgrounds? I know you all are young and this is a passionate thing, but you're tackling this as if you are seasoned nonprofit foundation executives. It's very impressive. So what are your backgrounds, and how did you learn how to be so smart so quick?
Actually, if you go behind the scenes, actually, you could see that we're just a group of young people that are based everything on excitement and motivation. But we're also, we're not so organized, and we're not so, executive. Like, we're just run off, excitement and motivation for it. And everything kind of comes together when you have a group of excited and enthusiastic people and that put their time for it to happen. And I think one of the strengths of the group is that we aim big, and we're not afraid of, just pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone and try out new things like the peat fest. It was just, we thought it was a bit crazy when we had the idea, and yet we still went for it. So
yeah. That's awesome. Remember, because I joined the group a little bit later, and I remember I was joining just in May before the peat fest was starting. And I had a little chat with Frankie in the beginning, and they were telling me about this, and I was like, wow, this is so crazy. Like, how are they doing it? And it was just going full on, and it was really amazing of what we did, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's just an example of right there. If you have a passion for something and you have the motivation and you actually do it. There are many people out there that are dreamers that want to change the world, but you actually have to do stuff to make it happen. And I love how you all had no fear in terms of diving in on this. That's really, really, really awesome. And also too, your website, which as I mentioned, has a lot of great information, uses a .earth domain. It's re-pete.earth. Why did you all choose a .earth domain? And maybe we'll start with Marilise on that.
Well, I actually didn't know this story before, but Frankie told me about it. And it actually quite accidental that we first bought the .com ending and we didn't know much about this. And we found that .com is more like for businesses. So then we tried .org and it was already taken. And then we kind of stumbled upon the .earth domain. And then we thought like, wow, it really aligns with our values and it fits us quite well. So
awesome.
I had a little anecdote to go along with that. I actually was emailing the person with the repeat.earth. And then he actually came to a meeting because he just happened to be in Amsterdam. So it was kind of like a funny little domain moment right there. Just like, hey, and he was also into peatlands. So we were like, should we do something together or should I make my own domain ending? Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. And so you all have certainly accomplished a lot in a relatively short period of time, but what does the future hold for Repeat? What's your future vision? And maybe we'll start with Carolina on that.
Yeah, well, as of course you can imagine, we have loads of ideas and we're excited for new projects. Not right now, we're running a crowdfunding campaign. So with that amount of money, we hope that we can finance a bit our children's book that we're currently writing, which will be an opportunity to spread also the knowledge about peatlands to younger generations. We're also planning on, well, right now, I guess this global situation makes it a bit harder to organize events. So we are still kind of thinking of attending and organizing some online events. I'm actually not super up to date with this, so maybe Frankie's a better person to ask, or Marilise, since they're working on more like these projects.
I wanted to add a little thing on the crowdfund is just about to be launched. So probably by the time this podcast comes out, it will be launched. So that's really exciting. And yeah, maybe Marilise, you want to talk about the potential project that we have in the pipeline?
So right now we are working on a really huge and ambitious project. So we want to create a kind of educational program, and we are hopefully getting funding and going to launch a pilot study in the Irish schools. So for 5 schools to create like a half a day of PEAT activities and to teach the children in the age group of 7 to 11, so the age group that is going to be there when the next common agricultural policy will be decided. So they will be the new decision makers and voters to educate them about peatlands, to bring them to field trips about peatlands. And yeah, so this is our new great project and we are currently working on a funding application. So hopefully we can move forward with this.
Wow, amazing. Children's books, educational programs, no rest for the weary. It's certainly very, very impressive what you all have done. And really, really appreciate your time today. And before we sign off, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed? And I'll go down the line. Maybe we'll start with Marilise first. Any parting words?
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Matthew, for having such sharing our enthusiasm about what we do. Just maybe that, yeah, go check out our website where you can find more information and, yeah, follow along with our crowdfunder, our new upcoming projects, and, yeah.
Awesome. All right, great. Thank you. Frankie, any last words?
Sure. Yeah, I would like to echo all of that. Thank you for having us. And honestly, more than anything, I would like to hint at the idea that peatlands can open up parallel universes. I just want to like say that something for me, peatlands really represent time. So within like 1 centimeter or within like 1 meter, you can kind of track back thousands of years, and you can see kind of like ancient pollens and past lives. And I think that something which is maybe on the sad side is that when you drain peatlands, you lose this kind of amazing record of time. But there's so much more to peatlands that if you get involved, then you'll be mind blown. So I wanted to leave you with that.
Oh, that's really cool. Awesome. Carolina, any parting words?
Yeah, just wanted to say that we're aiming, or we hope to create a paradigm shift, and to create this paradigm shift, and we need as many people as possible to be aware of the topic and to change the way they perceive peatlands that are not just wastelands or lands that need to be drained to, you know, make them useful, but they're just valuable in themselves and their way of being. So yeah, I wanted to end with this and to thank you a lot again, as Frank and Marley said, for this opportunity. Spread the word about peatlands.
Awesome. You know, it's completely our pleasure. This has been a lot of fun. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Frankie Turk, Carolina Mienza, and Marilise Kotsar, who are all of Repeat, which has the website re-peat.earth, which, as you heard, is a high-energy, youth-led collective that's pushing for a paradigm shift when it comes to peatlands. And Frankie, Carolina, and Marilise, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. <laughs> Thank
you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.